to bring me safely home to God. I am trusting thee to guide me. Thou alone shall lead, every day an hour supplying, and for all. Trust this might be the reality for some soul in the meeting this evening, that they come to faith in the Lord Jesus. So let's ask for God's blessing before we read from His Word. Our gracious God in heaven, this evening we give thanks that we can come together to hold a meeting like this. Our Father, we think of the need of precious souls who are yet found in their sins. Our Father, though men would labor and toil for many things, and there would be so much affliction in their lives because of viruses and economic problems and political situations, our Father, there's a need that far surpasses any other need. We give thanks for what He did there to put sin away, the provision that is made for men in all of their need, that they can come to Him and have their need met, that their lives could be changed as they're freed from the bondage of sin, to rejoice in a relationship with the God of heaven, and our Father, to look forward to a bright and blessed eternity, to be with God and to be with the Savior forever. So our Father, we're thankful we can come together to draw our thoughts, our minds, to these eternal and most weighty matters. Our Father, we know that this world, as the Lord Jesus said, the heavens and the earth will pass away, but My word will not pass away. How good it is then to be occupied with the Word of God and the person of whom the Word of God speaks, even the Lord Jesus. Father, we pray for heaven's blessing as the Word of God is opened in this place. We pray for blessing in Blue River as the Word of God will soon be opened there. We think of so many souls across this land, so many occupied with trivial things of life. How good it is for those who take the time to come for an hour to listen to the Word of God. Father, we pray for blessing upon each one in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, if you have your Bible, we'll begin reading in John chapter 18. John's Gospel in chapter 18, of course, this is leading up to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus and of men that were led by Judas Iscariot. He's been before the Sanhedrin, and they have turned him over to Pilate, the Roman governor, seeking to condemn him. And we'll just break into the chapter here at the end of it. Let's begin reading at verse 37, John 18 and verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, What is truth? You know, that could just as well be a slogan for today, isn't it? What is truth? We live in the day and age where you really don't know who or what to believe. And there is a so-called fake news that is being propagated, and the alternative news. So many things, so many voices, so many people speaking. And a person comes to the point where you just don't know who or what to believe anymore. And how sad it is when it comes to spiritual things that men and women and boys and girls, they find themselves in the very same state. One person says one thing and another person says another thing. Is it any wonder that there's so much confusion in this world that we live in? You ask 10 different people how a person can know heaven as their home, and you likely get 10 different answers. What is truth? That is what Pilate says here as he is interrogating the Lord Jesus, because he has just expressed something that is so powerful. Listen to what the Lord Jesus says. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Now here is something altogether different. And this is what I would like to draw your attention to. With all the confusion and all the deceit of this world, there is someone who is trustworthy. There is someone who we can believe. And more than that, someone who we must believe. Listen to what the Lord Jesus says. Whoever hears my voice is of the truth. So here it is, a voice above all others. A voice that would speak in this very evening. And I trust that your ears are open, as the Lord Jesus says, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Because here is someone who is speaking, as we are going to notice, someone who is speaking with authority. In a world full of confusion and turmoil and deceitfulness. And a person just doesn't know who to listen to or who to believe. It's probably more helpful just to turn the news off and not even bother to read the headlines, as one says one thing and another says another, and this politician says one thing and this one says another, and a person gets so fed up with it all. My friend, can I ask you this evening, who or what are you trusting as far as eternity? And what are you confiding? And I tell you that this is the most important thing that you will ever be faced with. Far more than any of the things that affect us in this world and life. Difficulties come and go. Decisions have to be made. Sometimes there's difficulties in making decisions. But listen, as far as your soul's eternal well-being, there is nothing that is of greater importance. And that is why it is so vital to have a clear understanding of what the Word of God says. To have a basis, something that's reliable, to rest your all in. Some of you know that we were gone for a few months to Central America last winter. We spent 2 months in El Salvador and another month and a half in Nicaragua. While we were in Nicaragua, we were visiting the assembly in Managua. And there was petition for prayer for a lady who was very sick. A lady that had come to the meetings there for many years. She even opened up her house to have meetings in her home for the people of her neighborhood to come. But she was sick. She had gone to the doctor with pains in her stomach and her abdomen. After his examination, the doctor says, the problem that you have is gas. Take these few pills and hopefully you'll get better. But she didn't get any better, and she decided she better go to another doctor and get another opinion. And he came up with the same thing. A few more pills or something to take away the gas. And it wasn't helping at all. She actually grew worse to the point where she had to be taken into the hospital because her intestine had ruptured. And she was put into a coma. And prayer was being made for her. And a few days later, she died. So we had the sad responsibility of burying a 44-year-old wife and mother who had put all of her confidence in these men who failed her. Who didn't get down to the root of the matter. Who didn't find out what was causing the problem that she had. And it cost her her life because she trusted those men. And I'm not going to say don't trust the doctors, because I think for the most part, they will strive for your well-being. But you know, some of them, they just don't go that extra mile. It's just another patient, just another person. But friend, when it comes to eternity, we have to get down to the root of the matter. We have to speak the truth of the Word of God, that you have a problem before God. The problem of your sin is a problem that must be resolved. It's not something that can be covered up just by doing the best that you can and hoping for the very best. Friend, we want to speak to you the Word of God. We want to make plain to you the words of the Lord Jesus, that here is someone that is worth listening to. Here is someone that you must listen to. It's someone that you must put your trust and confidence in. And I tell you that this is the most important matter. far above any other issue that you have in life. It's too important to be wrong. That is why you must know the truth. How thankful we are for the words of the Lord Jesus. For this purpose came I into the world, to bear witness to the truth. To uncover all the lies of Satan and all the deceitfulness of this world. Friend, in who or what are you trusting this evening? We're not speaking about blind faith. Faith is not something that is blind or ignorant or just wishful thinking. Faith is something that has a firm foundation. We often speak about believing, this word believing. But believing isn't just blind faith stepping out into nothing. The word believing in the Bible actually has to do with conviction. It means to be persuaded of something, to be convinced of something. It's to be convicted that this is the truth. And to put your eternal well-being in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who is speaking the truth. What is truth? In the world of confusion and deceit, people don't know who or what to believe. I'll tell you something that we ought not to believe. We cannot trust in our own feelings or emotions. You know what the Word of God says? It says our heart is deceitful and is desperately wicked. We can't even believe our own selves. We cannot rely on our own feelings, our emotions, our thoughts. The Word of God says our own thoughts are corrupt. What about people who are trusting in their riches? We could read in the Gospel of Luke or the Gospel of Mark, the Lord Jesus speaks of how difficult it is for those who have riches to enter into the kingdom of God. And the disciples ask why. The Lord Jesus says because they are trusting in their riches. That is why it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. He is trusting. I've heard people in their boastful thinking say, I've given so much money to this school. I've given so much money to the church. This ought to be worth something before God. They're trusting in riches. Can I tell you that riches hinder instead of help when it comes to salvation? As people put their confidence in their church and giving to the church and their tithing and all the things that they do, we cannot trust in our own selves and our hearts or feelings. We cannot trust in money. And sadly, sometimes we cannot even trust men. We think of those who take a position of authority. But you know, it doesn't matter whether it's a preacher or pastor or a priest or even the Pope. If what they say does not agree with the Word of God, it has no foundation. How thankful we are that we can come to the Word of God. Here is something that is concrete. Something that is sure. As the Lord Jesus speaks with authority. He says, for this cause I came into the world to give witness to the truth. Whoever is of the truth hears my word. Let's go to John chapter 6. As time is going to get away. In John chapter 6 says, there's many things you could read in this chapter. We'll just briefly look at a few things. Verse 53 of John chapter 6, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. You drop down here to verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Does this offend you?" Verse 66, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." The Lord Jesus is speaking and giving an illustration. This chapter, of course, is all about bread. It begins with the feeding of the 5,000. Maybe there were more than that. Maybe there were 10,000. This chapter begins with, we'll say, 10,000 people following the Lord Jesus. But it ends with 12 men following the Lord Jesus, and one of them is a traitor. Why is that? Well, because they were following the Lord Jesus Christ for food. But when he begins to speak to them about he being the bread that has come down from heaven to give life to the world, when he begins to speak about his sacrifice on the cross, when he begins to speak about the necessity of giving himself, of giving his body, of shedding his blood, that men and women might have life, and the very real need for each and every one to take it as their own. This is not speaking of the Lord's Supper. This is not speaking of Mass, of the communion. This is speaking of a personal realization of the work of the Savior on the cross. An understanding of the reason that he gave his body and that he shed his blood, that it was for me. Then a person must realize that in a very individual, in a very personal way. It's not enough just to know that there is a Savior of sinners. Or as so many people in the popular religion speak of the Savior of the world, thank God there is a Savior for sinners. Thank God there's enough provision for this entire world, but it does you no good to know that Christ died for sinners until you realize Christ died for this sinner. That he laid down his life for me, that he shed his blood for me. That's why he says to eat his flesh, to drink his blood, that is a very personal thing. Not something that is literal. But just as a plate of food that your mother or father put before you, it doesn't do you any good until you take it for yourself. And that is why the Lord Jesus speaks of giving his body and the need to trust him in a very personal way. But the Bible tells us when they heard this, that many of them went away and followed him no more. And the Lord Jesus asked a question to his disciples, "Does this offend you? Are you also going to go away?" Listen to the words of Peter. Again, verse 66, "From that time many of his disciples, those that had followed him for physical blessing, they turned their back and they walked no more with him." And Jesus says to his 12, he says, "Will you also go away?" Listen to the response of Peter. He says, "Then Simon Peter answered and said unto him, Lord, to whom shall we go?" As Pilate says, "What is true?" Peter says, "To who else can we go? You are the one that has spoken the words of eternal life. You alone." Friend, if we could draw your attention to the Lord Jesus, if there's any voice that you must listen to, a voice that you must hear, it is his voice. The one who so willingly spoke of giving himself, giving his body to be beaten, marred, crucified, lifted up on a cross. The one who so willingly spoke of shedding his blood, of giving his life for sinners, so that you and I might have eternal life. Sadly, there are so many people that they just don't want to hear it. If there was an ear for the truth, there wouldn't be enough seats in this building
for all the people that would come to this place to hear the truth. Listen what the Lord Jesus says. Whoever is of the truth, he hears my voice. Let's go over to chapter 10. Chapter 10, the Lord Jesus is speaking again. Very simple illustration. This chapter speaks of him as the door, as the good shepherd, the one who lays down his life for the sheep. We're just going to read here at the end of the chapter in verse 27. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Whoever is of the truth hears my voice. Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Listen to what the Lord Jesus says. My sheep hear my voice. For those who hear the voice of the Lord Jesus, his tender call, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And they come to him because they're seeking salvation, the forgiveness of sins. They want safety and security. And they come to him. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Is it any wonder in John's gospel we read those precious words, never man spake like this man? There's never another man on earth that has offered the forgiveness of sins or eternal life as the Lord Jesus. With all the assurance of heaven, John chapter 5, verse 24, certainly, certainly I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me, or believes him that sent me, has everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but he has passed from death unto life. How? By hearing and believing. By being convinced that this is the truth. He is the one that I must trust. He is the one that is altogether trustworthy. He is the one that is altogether dependable. Do you hear these words? He that hears my voice, I give unto him eternal life, and he shall never perish. That is an absolute truth. That is more solid than the foundation that this building is sitting on. Friend, you can put your absolute confidence in the words of the Lord Jesus. It's not about seeing, it's not about feeling, it's not about emotion, it's about conviction. This is truth, and he is the one that is trustworthy. You see, friend, that's what we are doing to be saved. We are trusting him to save us. We're simply trusting that he will fulfill his promises. That he will do everything that he has promised. That he will not, that he cannot lie. He cannot fail. His word cannot be undone. His word cannot be annulled. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. They shall never come into condemnation. And we're going to read in chapter 8. Again, John chapter 8, verse 31. John 8, verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, or of a truth. His disciples, what do? They obey his word because they know it is true. Because he is the Lord and he speaks with authority. And they willingly follow him. My sheep hear my voice. They follow me. But listen to what verse 43 says. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word, or you're not willing to hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie. You want to know where fake news comes from? Where deceit and falsehood comes from? It all comes from Satan himself, who is a father of the lie. He abode not in the truth. The Lord Jesus blatantly says there is no truth in him. But listen, listen to what he says. Verse 44, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Is that not the sad reality for multitudes of people today? I tell you the truth and you believe me not. And yet Satan, with all his bold-faced lie, they drink it in hook, line, and sinker. And the more you move among people, you come to this realization that people are willing to believe anything but the truth. Thank God you can be in a place like this where the Word of God is open and the truth of God is made known. Listen to what the Lord Jesus says. Verse 45, because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God hears God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Here is a very simple test. A very simple test. Those who are gods, they hear God's words. Those who do not hear God's words are not gods. They're not willing to lay hold of the truth of God. They trust in their own feelings and emotions, the deceitfulness of their own hearts. They listen to the bold-faced lies of the enemy, of Satan himself, the deceiver. And the truth is being rejected. But hopefully there's someone that has come to the meeting tonight because they want to know. I have to know. This is too important to be wrong. How thankful we are that we can come to the Word of God. Isn't it sad to think about precious souls that go out into eternity? And they open their eyes in hell. I thought. So-and-so told me. The pastor, the preacher, the priest, they said. Doesn't matter in this place what they said. The only thing that matters is what he says. Whoever is of the truth hears my voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Friend, are you willing to simply trust the Lord Jesus tonight to receive his word as truth? To trust him to do what he promises to do? That is what you must do if you're ever going to be saved. Might God help you.
Again, it's good to see each one out tonight, and we welcome those on Zoom as well. Now, we're going to read again in the Gospel of John, please, chapter 13. John's Gospel and chapter 13. Now, just to give the setting here, it's the night before the Lord Jesus will be crucified, and he and his disciples are reclining in the upper room in comfort. Peter and John have prepared the Passover supper, and now Jesus is preparing them for the period whenever he will be absent from them. All right, so that's the setting. It's the upper room that we're going to be reading about. They have questions, and he has answers. And we're going to look at some of these just now. So come to verse 21 of chapter 13. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. And that's the way John refers to himself. So it was John. Simon Peter, therefore, beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, "That thou doest, do quickly." And verse 30 says, "He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night." Now come further down, verse 33, the Lord says, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you, ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, where I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you." So he was saying the same thing to them. "Where I go, ye cannot come." Verse 36, "Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, whither goest thou?" Where are you going? Jesus answered him, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." Peter said unto him, "Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake." Jesus answered him, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice," three times. Now, chapter 14, he says in verse 2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Verse 5, "Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way?" You notice that the Lord has just told him where he's going, to the Father's house. And now he says, "We don't know where you're going." So his question was, how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now, one more from chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse 16. The Lord Jesus says, "A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." Verse 18. "They said, therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith." Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, "Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament," and so on. Now, come further down. There is actually another one here. So he says to them in verse 25, "These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father." Verse 28, "I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father." His disciples said unto him, Lo, thou speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Now he has just told them he's going to the Father, but they say, Thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? And so on. Now that's our reading, and we trust with the Lord's blessing. Let me just pick up on the highlights of what we want to look at from these scriptures. Five different questions that are asked, and they're asked by different people. We have the question by John, first of all, in chapter 13 and verse 25, and the question is, who is it? Who is the betrayer? Who is it? Then at the end of that chapter, we have Peter's question, and he says, Why cannot I follow thee now? Why cannot I follow thee now? Then we have a question by Thomas in chapter 14. He says, How can we know the way? And the Lord gives him the answer, I am the way. And then from the disciples, a number of them evidently, in chapter 16, they ask this question, What is this that he saith, a little while? A little while. Of course, he's referring to coming back again to them. But they want to know, what is this little while? And then finally, a question by the Lord Jesus. And I would like you to think of this question being asked of your heart tonight. He asked his disciples. He's asking you. Do ye now believe? Do you now believe? So there's lessons, I take it, that we can learn in the gospel as we come to these questions tonight. Now the Lord has told them plainly that one of you shall betray me. And the disciples, they're all wondering, what's this all about? And as they look around the room, they're looking at the others and they're wondering. But then they turn the question to themselves, and every one of them said, Lord, is it I? Is it I? Who is the betrayer? Well, John, he's reclining at the table just beside the Lord Jesus. He's actually leaning on his breast. And Peter, probably sitting across, he catches John's eye, and he says to John, he motions to John, ask him, who is it? So John, being close to the Lord, he asks, who is it, Lord? Who is the betrayer among us? And Jesus answered, it is he to whom I give the sop. So he would take a piece of bread, dip it in a liquid, possibly wine or possibly gravy, and he would give that to the most honored guest, was the practice. And from John's vantage point, from where John is sitting, it seems the others didn't notice it, but from where John is, he notices that when the Lord gives the sop, he gives it to Judas. He's the betrayer. How would he betray the Lord Jesus? Well, he would make a deal. And he made a contract with those high priests and the elders for 30 pieces of silver. And he actually sells his own soul. as he sells the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. It's remarkable that Judas would do that after being with the Lord for 3.5 years. And after all that he has heard, after all that he has known about Jesus, that he would sell out on him and betray him. I'm talking to people tonight in this room, and you know a lot about the Lord Jesus. You've heard of him often. You've just heard about him being presented in the gospel again as the only Savior, the one whom you need. But I wonder tonight in this room, is there a betrayer of the Lord Jesus Christ? One who would sell him for something else rather than receive him as their very own Savior? Is there a betrayer? In fact, this room is divided here tonight, really. There are those who have betrayed him up until now, and there are those who have believed on him to the saving of their soul. You are a betrayer, or you are a believer. But what I want to know is this, not just in your own heart, what are you selling him for? For some, it might be just fun and games. I just don't think too seriously about it. For the Lord Jesus said there would be others, and they would put land, buying land, before the blessing of God. Others had a relationship. That can be a big hindrance too. Boyfriend, girlfriend, put that before God's salvation. Another man said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. He had some equipment to run. He had a business to carry on. He put that before his soul salvation. We would appeal to you tonight, as I look around this audience, and I ask the question, who is it? Who is it? Who will betray the Lord Jesus? You ask yourself the question, Lord, is it I? Is it I? Now, we'll come to Peter now, the end of the chapter. The Lord is telling these men that he's going away. And he says in verse 33, He says, where I go, ye cannot come. Because he's going back to the Father, isn't he? He's going back to heaven. And he's going to believe in them here behind. He's going to believe in them on earth. They have followed him for this 3.5 years, but now he's going to leave them. And this is going to bring big changes. So Peter, as he thinks about that just for a moment, he asks the question right away. He says, why cannot I follow thee now? Why cannot I follow thee now? The Lord answers Peter. He says that he will actually follow him, but afterwards. Now, let's look at that question. Why cannot you follow the Lord Jesus to heaven? What's your answer in your heart? What's the answer? Why cannot you follow the Lord Jesus to heaven? There's a 4-letter word that answers that question. It's the problem of your S-I-N-S, your sins. Sins is the reason why a person cannot go to heaven. If you were to pass away tonight, I trust you won't, where would your soul be? Are your sins forgiven? Because, mark you, a person who is not trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, he says this, "Where I go, ye cannot come, and ye shall die in your sins." And that's a very solemn thought. Because you can't follow him to heaven in your sins. You need to have your sins put away. You need to have your sins forgiven. And it's only the Lord Jesus that can forgive you of your sins. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, right on the heels of that, we come to Thomas here in chapter 14. The place where he is going to, he now clearly identifies to them, and he says he's going to the Father's house. In my Father's house are many mansions. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. So he tells them that he's going to the Father's house. And then Thomas, he comes in, and he says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? Now, poor Thomas was plagued with unbelief, and that comes out later. But I wonder if this question is maybe on your mind tonight. You know enough about the gospel to know that to be in heaven, you need to be saved. You've not heard that, and you've known that. But the problem in your heart perhaps is this, how can I know the way to be saved? How can I know the way? Well, notice the question is answered by the Lord Jesus. Thomas says, how can we know the way? The Lord says, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the way. The way is a person. That's maybe very simple. But that's God's truth. The way to heaven simply is a person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, and you need him. You need him as your Savior. He is the one who, in truth, has taken the judgment that I deserve, and he has satisfied God in the doing of it. And on that cross he cries, "It is finished." They were the very words of God. God who cannot lie. And tonight again in the gospel, we declare to you that it is finished. Yes, indeed. Finished every jot. Sinner, this is all you need. Tell me, is it not? That the Lord Jesus has died on that cross. He died for the ungodly. Christ died for our sins. And he was buried. And God raised him again the third day, according to the scriptures. Proof that his death has satisfied God with regards to the problem of sins that he has put away. So when you trust the Savior to take away your sins and take you to heaven, that's exactly what he does. He takes away your sins from before God's face. And at last he'll take you home to heaven, saved by his precious blood. How can we know the way? I am the way. Now then, in chapter 16, there's another question or two. Remember, he's about to leave them. He's about to leave that upper room and go out to Gethsemane and then on to the trial, and he will be crucified. So he says in verse 16, a little while and ye shall not see me. Because he's going to die, he's going to be buried. But then he says, again, a little while and ye shall see me. In Resurrection, chapter 20 of John, they see him there in the upper room. After he's risen from the dead, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. So they did see him again. Verse 17, then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us, a little while, and ye shall see me, shall not see me, and again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. They would see him in resurrection, but there's another layer on here too. And that is this. We don't see the Lord Jesus right now. Why not? Because he's gone to the Father. But a little while, in a little while, we will see him. A little while. Because he's coming back again. He's coming back again. So they said unto him, therefore, in verse 18, what is this that he saith? A little while, we cannot tell what he saith. A little while. How big is that little while until the Lord comes again? We cannot tell. He could come tonight. He could come in the middle of the night. He could come tomorrow morning. It would still be a little while, wouldn't it? But it is a little while. A little while. I tell you, if I was hearing the gospel tonight, still in my sins, I trust the Spirit of God would so work with my soul that I would not give sleep to my eyes until I knew for sure my soul was saved. It is so urgent. Knowing the gospel that you have heard, and if the Lord comes and you have rejected him, said the Lord Jesus, I have come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. Another will come in his own name. Who's that? The Antichrist. And him ye will receive. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We looked at it Sunday night. Those that receive him, the Antichrist, they receive the mark in their forehead and the mark in their hand. And they are as good as damned. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Don't leave it until it's too late. You go in for God's salvation tonight. You make sure before you sleep this evening that you know Christ as your Savior. The one who died for you on the cross. Claim him as your very own. Rely upon him, trust in him, believe on him. All these words indicating your full confidence should be in Christ and him alone as your Savior. So he's told them he's going to the Father. And the disciples, they figure, well, yeah, we know that. Now you're speaking plainly. He said, verse 30, now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and need not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. But he's been talking to them about the Father. They have not yet entered into the truth. It'll come later. But they have not yet entered into the truth of God being their Father. There are many here tonight, and you know much about the gospel, and you wouldn't question the verses of the Bible, But do you know God as your Father? Is there that relationship between your soul and God the Father? Are you His child? Have you been born again into His family? Has there been that moment when you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? And you know that you shall not perish, but you have everlasting life. And you've been born again into God's family, and God is your Father. So the Lord Jesus, He says to them, He asks the question, He asks your heart the question tonight. He says, do ye now believe? What's the answer? Do ye now believe? He's ready and He's willing to receive you. You can trust Him. He will receive you. And He will save you. And take you home to heaven, forgiving all of your many sins. The Lord bless His word. Let's pray. Our Father, again, we come before Thee. We thank Thee that there is tonight a Savior for sinners, and a Savior for sinners like me. We bless Thee that He is the Savior of the world, but we thank Thee, too, that He is the one who can personally reach each individual and deliver them from the problem of their sins and take them home to God's heaven. He has gone to the cross, He has provided salvation, and He is worthy of our trust. So we pray for Thy blessing then on the word that has gone forth here tonight. Remember in Blue River as well. We pray that there would be good news to hand of sinners coming to trust the Lord Jesus and going on their way rejoicing. So we ask them for Thy parting blessing as we give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now I have a hymn to read with you. It's number 87. Number 87. We thank you each one for coming. Remember the meeting again tomorrow night as announced. Number 87, Jesus, I will trust Thee. Trust Thee with my soul, guilty, lost, and helpless. But Thou canst make me whole. There is none in heaven nor on earth like Thee. Thou hast died for sinners. Therefore, Lord, for me. Verse 3, Jesus, I must trust Thee. Pondering Thy ways, full of love and mercy, all Thine earthly days. Sinners gathered round Thee, lepers sought Thy face, none too vile or loathsome for a Savior's grace. Jesus, I can trust Thee. Trust Thy written word, though Thy voice of pity I may never have heard. When the Spirit teacheth, to my taste how sweet, only may I hearken, sitting at Thy feet. Verse 5, Jesus, I do trust Thee. Trust without a doubt. Whosoever cometh, Thou wilt not cast out. Faithful is Thy promise. Precious is Thy blood. These my soul's salvation. Thou, my Savior God. Jesus, I do trust Thee. Trust Thee without a doubt. Whosoever cometh, Thou wilt not cast out. Now that concludes our meeting tonight. Thank you.